Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We're the Ritz Brothers. Today is August 10th, and I think we got to start with some big news for you. We need everybody to listen up, stop what you're doing. This is like bucket list type thing.
Bucket list for sure.
I mean, throwing out the first pitch. At the Royals game.
Tonight.
As you're
listening
August
to this.
August 10th.
Tomorrow, as we're recording it. Not a prank. Not a joke.
That is incredible.
It's actually because of State Your Line. That's 100%. Like, the show has just, it's blown up to the point. It has nothing to do with my corporate job. Mm-hmm. And like a rep getting a sponsorship exemption to throw out the first pitch. It has nothing to do with that. It's all because of State Your Line and the massive reputation that we have grown as a podcast. They needed me out there. So, no, I am throwing out the first pitch tonight, Tuesday night, August 10th, against the Yankees. There is rain in the forecast. I'm a little bit nervous.
I would be nervous
about that. But it's the Yankees, so I imagine there's going to be a decent crowd.
I would imagine.
The real reason I get to do it is, yes, I'm going with work.
Corporate Dan
out in full force. So it even gets more complicated than that. So the sales rep and the sponsor who's taking our company to the Royals game, they got the opportunity to nominate someone for the first pitch. They decided to do a raffle drawing at our company to see who would do it. I did not win that raffle. A guy I work with won that raffle. He pinged me. For those of you folks not in the corporate world, ping means
what a ping is.
Message you on whatever internal messaging app you use. Mm-hmm. I wonder why it is pinged.
Was
like Slack or
it was back
Skype?
When it was. It was like,
was it a ping? Well,
it was like Microsoft Link before Skype.
Okay.
And I think it was called a ping then.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Teams message, but you still say ping.
I still say ping.
He said that he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it. And he's from Arizona. And so I was like, okay, well, if you can't do it, I'll do it for sure.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to throw out the first pitch tonight. As we're speaking, as you're listening to this tonight, I'm throwing out the first pitch of the Royals versus Yankees. It is without a doubt like one of the coolest things I've ever had the opportunity to do. It was like something that I thought would be cool, but I never ever thought it would be a possibility. So I never really entertained the idea. But now that I found out that I'm going to do it, I'm starting to try to think how I should do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because again, I've been on the field before, like, you know, Nall Hills night, you get to walk around the field, even bring your glove on the field. I've never thrown a baseball field before.
So one,
which
another
is pretty sick.
Another corporate Dan moment. We got to go out there with a rep from a sponsor, and we got to do like this training session. I got to throw a bullpen sesh with Pete Moylan.
Yeah.
The Australian.
That's pretty sweet.
Aussie. We threw a bullpen sesh. So I threw from the mound up there.
Have done that.
Pete was very impressed. No, in the bullpen.
Oh, in the bullpen. Yeah. I was like, they let you out on the field for that?
Well, and then we got to play catch in the outfield, and we got to take fly balls from one of their coaches got to take fly balls in the outfield to Kauffman. That was one of the coolest things I've ever done. This
will top it.
Pete Moylan was really impressed with my knuckle curve. I said, look at this, Pete.
You're throwing out the first pitch. Daniel Lynch throwing out the second pitch. Do you think you'll get to like work in the bullpen with Daniel Lynch side by side?
I mean, both of our names are Daniel, so I can connect on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's he throw? 90, high 90s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think I'll hit? Low 60s, mid 60s.
I mean, how hard are you going to throw it?
That's the question.
Are you going to try to pipe one in there, George W. Bush style?
Yeah, I know.
Like throw a strike, throw it hard.
Right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my question. Should I go for heat, like full wind up, go for heat, or just get it over the plate?
I think you got to go. I think 90%? Everyone appreciates just a little bit of theatrics, not a lot.
Okay.
You know, a good wave to the people.
Tip of my cap.
Uh-huh. And then I think even like, you know, a little bit of gamesmanship, like I'm going to throw it really hard.
Okay.
Like, oh, I'm going to take this kind of serious. And then I think after that, I think you throw it as hard as you can.
Should I fake,
see what happens?
Spider tack it. Should I put some
freak some spider tack out and
yeah,
ooh, hold it up?
Oh,
like
I
this.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Or at least just like fake. What's the pitcher from Major League? The old pitcher.
Yeah.
Just like fake, get Vaseline from my arm, and
that would be pretty good.
Like, and yeah, you maybe know, Crisco arm, from my
and then back here. Yeah. And then get in there and dig on it.
What
That'd
if
be a pretty
I,
good one.
What if I just hawk a loogie onto the ball and just throw a real like a real sopping wet spitball?
Yeah, but I do think that could be a good one. You know, fake doctor up the ball.
Okay.
It's relevant.
Okay,
I haven't seen it yet.
All right.
And
well,
then
how many first pitches have you seen?
I haven't seen one in a long time. But I think that's a good one, doctoring it up. And I think you got to try to throw it.
I'm gonna throw like probably 85 to 90%.
Okay.
Of what I got.
Step towards like that, the plate. Just step towards the plate and you'll be
good,
fine.
That's a good tip.
You'll be fine.
All right. So, yeah, I'm throwing out the first pitch. I'm stoked. I'm like getting nervous right now talking about it and knowing that people will be listening to this tomorrow, like, which is D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, really excited. Thanks to Mike from my office for giving me the opportunity. And thanks to the, yeah, everything that aligned for this to happen. So stoked. Can't wait.
Pretty sweet.
And then, yeah, I'll report next week how it went because, you know, no one's going to see it unless you're at the stadium on time. But
unless you hit a camera guy in the nuts and go viral.
I know. That's my thing, too. Should I try to purposely go viral hitting Slugger right in the jump?
It's Slugger's birthday week. So
it is Slugger's birthday week.
Let's not hit Slugger, okay?
Okay.
It's his birthday week. We know he's probably been partying all week with strippers because
yeah, as he does.
That's what Slugger does.
Yep.
And also, if you don't know that story, go ahead and Google it. Not on your work computer. But I think you got to fire one in there
and
try to impress the crowd.
The gun's on? You think the radar gun is on?
I don't think so.
I think it is. I don't think it's ever off because a lot of times when like when catchers are – when they're doing warm-ups, you mm-hmm. see, you can see speed, so –
yeah.
Over under 60 miles an hour.
If you're throwing it, you should be able to hit 60.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
At
so you're
85.
You're taking the over?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully the gun's
I'm just
on.
Trying to get you to throw hard.
Yes. I think you got 65 in you.
Yeah. All right. Also, got to talk about Garth Brooks. Everybody was at Garth.
You weren't at Garth?
I wasn't at Garth. I got a lot of Snapchats about Garth, but man, wish I could have been there.
It looked incredible.
I didn't know he was going to set up a stage right in the middle of the field.
The stage,
incredible.
The stage looked like...
And then
like,
fill up the whole stadium. Wow.
It was amazing. It
Beautiful.
Looked like one of the most incredible scenes to be a part of. Garth brings it. I mean, Kansas City and Garth are...
Hang a banner.
Are for... Ooh, should the Chiefs?
Should the Chiefs? Like,
hang a flag.
T-Mobile Center has it? Yeah.
Yeah, get a flag. Mm-hmm. Not a banner. Yeah, flag.
Garth Brooks sold out concert.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it looked incredible. I love concert snaps being back. I didn't think, you know, everyone used to hate concert snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And...
we took them for granted.
We did. You're mm-hmm. exactly right, Kevin. We took concert snaps for granted, and now they're back. I was happy to see him back. It looked like an incredible show, and Garth just sweating through his jeans and standing outside the fire, just living it up.
Yeah.
You know, Garth's not on Spotify.
Yeah, he's Amazon only.
I tried to get
Amazon Prime only.
Some Garth vibes going this weekend. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I have Amazon Music. I get that email every single week. Like, you have an unused benefit from Amazon Prime, which is Amazon Music, but I don't know.
It costs money.
Not included in my Prime membership? You sure?
Not the premium version.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Free.
Yeah.
So what, ads?
Probably.
Ugh.
Yeah. But yeah,
so
yeah looked,
everyone
looked like
was
Garth.
At Garth except Kevin and I
guess. Like a hell of a show.
It looked incredible. It's just good to have concert snaps back in my feed. And like, you know, I skipped through most of them. So still my old habit of just
it.
Like ting, 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 like
mm-hmm.
skipping through them. But good to see. Good
yeah.
to see Arrowhead. I mean, gates opened at 3:00 for the full tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Also, dropping on Monday, Patrick Mahomes got a new logo.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
Okay. Well, it looks a little bit like the old one, just a little bit cooler.
Let me see.
Okay.
Live reaction.
Here you go. Check out this video. It's pretty sweet, too. Look at that.
Oh.
So
it doesn't look anything like the old logo.
Oh, I know. So that's a gladiator mask, also an M.
Okay, yeah.
And then
I see
that
it.
Also looks like him celebrating.
Okay.
And if you look very closely,
wow, a lot of
this line.
This is good. This is good podcasting.
See this line?
Right,
there's a line in it that's pointing towards 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Like 2 p.m.
What's that? What's
Patrick
that 2
Mahomes
PM?
Second, 2 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So it's pointing to 2 o'clock. Oh, I think that's gosh. Probably the lamest part. I don't really get
that's
that.
Very, very lame.
I don't really get that.
I
otherwise,
don't like 2 p.m. I like the gladiator mask forming and then the PM, prime minister. Sure. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
It's cool.
Good job, Pat.
We'll see.
Cool logo. Good
it's
for
on
you.
It's on his shoe now, so we'll see
sure,
if he gets
I'll
an
buy
actual
it.
Shoe.
I'll buy it.
All right. So that's the Patrick Mahomes new logo. Let's jump into a little openings.
Any more Hall of Famers out of training camp yet? Last week we talked about our entire rookie class going to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Then I'm including Lucas
else?
Niang in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
too,
I think
as
he threw
a rookie
him in.
Class.
Okay.
And now with Rimmers out, he's got his chance at right tackle.
He's
now.
In the start. He's in the
he
first unofficial depth
hurt.
Chart.
So who else on the depth chart? Oh, everyone's talking about that safety, Devon Key. I think.
Key.
Yeah. What do you got on him?
He's listed ahead of. Ahead of Armani Watts.
Yes.
So I saw that.
So basically,
Dan Sorensen is in front of Juan Thornhill.
Yeah, and Ben Neiman.
No, he's behind Willie Gay.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Just checking in on you. Probably number one dime.
Nick Kizer got cut, so
he retired.
No, yeah, cut.
I think
or
he
retired.
Listened to one of our podcasts, and Nick Kizer called it quits.
Yeah, so Nick Kizer done. I'm still upset that Noah Gray is number three on the on the tight end depth chart list, but that's okay.
Long ways
for a future Hall of Famer, that's pretty low.
Long ways to go in camp. Talking openings now, little goats on the go, coming to Lenexa, Kansas. Basically, if you need some weed control, hire goats on the go. You don't have to use any chemicals or any manual labor. You just let the goats roam, right?
This is a no-brainer. Do we just not have enough goats, maybe?
I don't know.
Dude, so
we could use some more.
So Lenexa, the city of Lenexa, is hiring a company called Goats on the Go, which will bring 25 to 30 goats to a park to clear weeds, a.k.a. have a bunch of lunches and meals at Sarco Par Trails Park on 87th and Lackman. So they eat like honeysuckle and celery pear, which are harmful to the water quality in that creek right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the goats will eat all of that. And the goats just eat it all up and get rid of all the weeds. Plus their poo, the way they process those flowers and stuff, their poo kills the seeds. So when they poo out the seeds, they don't regrow. Cow's poo does not do that.
Okay.
I was reading up on animal poo.
Mm-hmm.
Cow's poo does not kill the seeds. So like the fertilizer in the cow poo will help those seeds grow into those same plants that they're trying to get rid of. Goat poo does not do that. So, I mean, this is just an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah.
To clear the entire field, it's going to cost $1,300.
Cheap.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
no
cheap.
No chemicals required.
No chemicals.
Just some hungry goats.
Hungry goats. They basically put an electric fence around there and put a little tag on them. And yeah, maybe the occasional goat gets away.
Mm-hmm.
Then gets caught. Like, it's not like there's random goats wandering around Lenexa after that. But this is an absolute no-brainer. So you got any good jokes out of this?
No, not really. I just wish that I pooped like a goat. Pebbles.
Explain.
Like the pebbles they poop.
I think that's deer. I think you're thinking of deer.
Goats do that too.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I
no
just
big
wish
mud pies?
I don't want to make mud pies anymore. I just wish I could poop like a goat. It looks like the cleanest possible way to poop.
Yeah. It just seems like every park needs more of this.
Mm-hmm.
So like, no kidding. Huh?
No kidding about this one.
No kidding about this one.
No kidding. I would like to poop like a goat.
I heard the weeds there were pretty bad.
All right, let's move on. That was bad. All right. Reopening Seven Swans Creperie. Where's Seven Swans Creperie?
I think this is in the west side, up the hill, I think. Did I get the wrong one?
I don't know.
I think this is on the west side. This closed on June 2nd. It was a fan favorite. again, very Instagrammable. If you're making a new restaurant, it just has to be Instagrammable. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
17th in Washington.
Yep. Okay. So it closed on June 2nd due to some COVID-related issues, and it's opening back up. So it looks delicious. It looks like they expanded their menu a little bit. Added a few more like breakfast items that are other than crepes, like, you know, doing more than just crepes.
I got to get here.
I know, man. It looks delicious. I freaking love crepes. Wow. I wish I could make them at home. I don't think I have the skill set.
No, you don't.
Or the equipment. But Seven Swans Creperie in the West Side Crossroads area is back open.
Back, baby. All right. Also coming, is this... So it's a Liberty Barbecue spot, but now they're going to take over and move down to the Legends, right?
That's right. So
Jousting Pigs is
also closing because Arthur Bryant's at the Legends is closing.
Okay.
Arthur Bryant's is not closing their regular the spot. Legends. Just the Legends
and
spot.
And Jousting Pigs Barbecue coming into the Legends.
Jousting Pigs first opened in Liberty in 2019. They were like one of these, like a lot of barbecue restaurants around here, a competition team. Mm-hmm. That traveled around to competitions. Then they opened in like a ghost kitchen type thing in a brewery out in Liberty. And then they got their first brick and mortar place, I think like maybe in 2019. And then now they're taking over the Arthur Bryant's in
Legends.
Yeah. So, I guess they'll be out there.
I want to try their brisket macaroni and cheese bad.
It looks good.
I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah. So Jousting Pigs. Out of Liberty, opening in the Legends.
Mm-hmm. And then closing the Arthur Bryant's.
And then closing Arthur
just
Bryant's.
Out there at the Legends. All right, let's move on to a little what we try this week. I swear I haven't talked about this before. We did research. I swear I haven't talked about it. But I tried Jovito's finally.
Jovito's?
And I had not tried it. I still need to try more menus on the item because I got the special.
Items on the menu.
Menus on the item. Items on the menu. But I got the special from the month of July. It was the buffalo chicken pizza.
Oh.
And some like buffalo.
You have not talked about this yet.
Yeah. And some buffalo, basically like buffalo tater tots, loaded potato tots.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Loaded tater tots. And so the pizza, it was too blue cheese heavy for me. So if you're a Buffalo Wings blue cheese fan, this is the pizza for you. If you're more of a buffalo with ranch, I would say.
And you despise blue cheese.
Yeah, because usually you're one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So this was blue cheese heavy, but Jovito's pizza is just phenomenal. Crust, everything, really good. Just the blue cheese was the only thing that did it for me, but I'm not a blue cheese guy.
Okay.
Otherwise, real good pizza.
You had Jovito's when you came over to babysit?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
did you try it?
Not babysit me. He didn't babysit me. Came over to babysit little James. And you left the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
We loved it.
You loved it. Okay.
We thought it was freaking awesome. And I'm not a huge, I'm like one of the few, like pretty lukewarm on blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I like blue cheese.
I give it a try still. I'm not like I still ate a lot of the pizza.
Yeah. We loved it. I didn't think it was overly blue cheesy at all.
Okay.
And you know how some food, it definitely tastes different left over. Like, like sometimes it just, like if it has a sauce or something, it marinates longer. Maybe that was it. But I thought it was like the perfect amount of blue cheese. So
yeah.
I meant to text you the next day because we ate the leftovers the next day and Megan and I both loved it. So
okay.
I thought it was a good amount.
I need to get the grinder there. I need to go back, get the meatball grinder. But Jovito's great little spot. Great patio on the front and back. So a nice little spot to
There's
go
a back
right
patio
now.
Back there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
So nice, cozy little family owned, great little spot, Jovito's.
Oh, yeah. This week, you guys, if you're following along on Insta, I put out a little scavenger hunt, and I tried Strang Hall this weekend.
It's
dude, I'm pissed
spot.
I haven't been there yet.
It's good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very fun spot. Easy also for families and to go with like a big group, super easy for all of that. So it was, me and like three other folks. So we each went and got an entree from some place, and then we each got an appetizer from a place as well, and we kind of like shared and ate each other's
food.
A little potluck. My main meal was the Doña Montana Cuban sandwich.
Yeah, that sandwich shop is good.
From Noracini.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Italian place in there. I wonder if a lot of places have one word names.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a requirement.
Could be.
So Norcini is what I had. It's the Italian place in there. They had pizzas and sandwiches. I had the Cuban sandwich, which was massive. I mean, it was huge. It had so much meat on it. I've never had a sandwich with like stuffed with that much meat and not called like, unless, you know, it's called like the big gargantuan, big hunk of meat sandwich. It was just like their Cuban sandwich. It had so much pulled pork and ham on it. It was delicious. It was very, the bread was almost too big. It was almost too much bread because it was like an Italian roll instead of, I don't know. I don't think that's normally how Cubans are. But anyways, it was really good. Had some of the electric eel sushi from Torazushi. Had the pretzels and beer cheese from Solstice, which is like kind of the healthier eating place in there. It wasn't very good.
What was it, honest, fake cheese or something?
No, the pretzel was just like dry. It was like a denser pretzel and it was pretty dry. Like if I get a soft pretzel, I want it to be like very
Your hands
airy
are greasy and buttery. And
like, yeah, super greasy and like just like super soft.
Yeah.
This was just like a little harder, a little more dense and just dry. So anyways, the bar was awesome in there. It's just an awesome spot. They have a really cool patio. Yeah.
Just open one tab and then you walk around. You can go eat, order from anywhere, drink from anywhere, all on one tab.
How do you do that?
It's nice. They just know. Boom. It's all one system. Yeah.
I didn't even try that.
Yeah.
Didn't even ask about that. But yeah, they had happy hour all day on Saturday. So folks,
buckle up. All right, so that is what we tried this week. This week for our interview, we've got Paul Durrell. He is the founder of the Leopold Gallery in Brookside, where not only are they displaying art, he's also an art consultant as well.
Yeah.
So we get into kind of Paul, how he got started, talk a little bit of art.
We're fancy boys.
We're real fancy. But Paul was awesome. Again, I love the artists that we have talked to on this show, really just like, being like, all right, let's just meet on one level with art and and I'll help you learn more about it. And if, Paul was that for us.
If you find someone who's snobby about art, then they're just jerks. They don't actually really care about art. That's what I've learned after talking to like artists of all different kinds, chefs, beer artists, artists, art consultants. If you're like snobby about art, you just, you don't actually like art. You just like the status that it gives you. And that's why I like Paul, because he's just like, yeah, if you, you know.
Let's meet you where you are.
Exactly.
And then we'll learn more about art together. So Paul was really fun and a great interview. All right, today we are joined by Paul Durrell. He is the president of Leopold Gallery and Art Consulting here in Brookside. Congratulations on 30 years.
Thanks, man.
Celebrating right now. I'm curious, you know, how the mission has evolved around what you do over these past 30 years, or do you feel like it's been kind of consistent what you guys do?
Consistency would have been a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
We began to experience that in the last 20 years. The first 10 years, like most small businesses, was up and down, a lot of down. You know, we started out in the old Savoy Hotel downtown in a large room that faced 9th Street, the old barbershop, not far from the main dining room itself. And in those years, we were just trying to survive year to year and establish a reputation and a following. And money was so tight, I had to run a lawn and tree service on the side to finance the gallery because my wife and I didn't have a lot of capital when we opened. But we were gambling that Kansas Cityans would catch the passion of buying art by regional artists who are really at the top of their game and have national reputations. And in the beginning, the artists we worked with did not have national reputations, but I was bound and determined that they would. And over time, virtually all of them achieved that and are still achieving that with us. And my clients come to us not just from throughout the region now, but via the internet from all over the country, all 50 states, and some clients in Europe. I just heard from a guy in Switzerland this morning. So, yeah, when we started out, I would have wished for that kind of consistency. But, you know, we stayed with it, and beautiful things happened, and here we are.
Yeah. I mean, 30 years ago, as you're having this idea, there must did this exist in Kansas City, what you guys are doing here? Or did you feel like there was a need to really highlight these artists from Kansas and Missouri?
It didn't exist the way that we wanted to structure it. So let's back up a second. I grew up in Old Leawood. I went to KU. After KU, I promptly went to Alaska to work on a fishing boat, do my damnedest to get killed, and it almost happened. And then I lived on a horse ranch in California, and I worked in San Francisco and L.A. and Key West. I was all over the country. I finally settled in the New York and Connecticut area after spending some time in Europe and really began to settle down and learn about the art world there, and was lucky enough to get a great job at a museum of French Impressionism near New Haven, Connecticut. I was there 3 years dealing with masterworks of French Impressionism, among many other types of art. And that's when I came home to try to get Kansas Cityans fired up about their own regional artists, I mean the exceptional ones, on a similar level as had been done in Paris 140 years ago and is still being done there today. And I have to say, to a degree, we succeeded beyond my dreams.
Did you guys, so were you always, did you always know art was going to be part of your life? And like, so you go to KU, you know, I don't know what the art program is like at KU, but were you always like, okay, I'm going to do the traditional, you know, grow up here, go to high school, go to college, do the more traditional type of upbringing. And then, but you always kind of knew, like, I'm always going to be kind of a different person. I'm always going to do my own thing. And art is that way, is that exit for me.
Art was a journey of nonconformity for me as much as it was Jim Morrison without the drugs in my case.
Did you just compare yourself to Jim Morrison?
Do I?
That's what I heard.
I mean, name your artist, whether it's Van Gogh, the nonconformist of all nonconformists, or Jim Morrison, or John Lennon. Paul McCartney is a nonconformist in a milder way. Mm-hmm. It just comes, so was Mozart. It just comes with that world when you're wired for art. Now, mm-hmm. at KU, I didn't study painting or sculpture. I'm not an artist.
Okay.
I'm an art consultant. It's like directors aren't actors in their films, but they understand actors. They understand script. They understand lighting. So they don't do any of that, but they bring it all together. And that's my job.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I was going to ask, because you have worked with big movie franchises, or you've worked with Marvel Studios
and Warner Brothers and MGM.
And I thought I saw Steven Spielberg as well.
Steven Spielberg wound up acquiring a bronze maquette from us of one of the National D-Day Memorial Monuments. That was way back in 98, about the time Private Ryan came out.
Okay.
And stuff like that has been falling in our lap all these years. I mean, not always.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how sometimes if I just go into a zen moment about it and visualize a project after we've done the prep for it, it happens, and yeah. It happens with increasing frequency.
And that my question was going to be, if we're comparing it to a movie, are you the director or the more the producer? Like, you're bringing the parties together, right? Because I would imagine that the artist is the director, right? It's their vision. They're putting the product out. And then you're kind of like, hey, all right, let me find the studio. Let me find the director. AKA, let me find the artist. Let me find the buyer. And or... you know, the studio is the large company that you need to bring in all these different artists into to hang art throughout their hallways and different things like
that.
I'm
both director and producer. It depends on the gig. When we did the art at Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs and Clark Hunt, Sharon Hunt hired me for that back in 2012, I believe. It was my job to send out a call for artists, find the best possible qualified artists in the region. People of all races, both genders, and turn up, knock on every possible door necessary, not just in the Kansas City area, but outlying regions as well, and the inner city and elsewhere. And it worked beautifully. So the pieces begin to come together. In some cases, I'm a co-designer with the artist, that they want to bounce ideas off me. I never take credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, my eyes are all over every big project we've ever managed. And if they don't need feedback from me, end of story. But often they do want feedback. Is this working? Do you like the scale? How are we going to hang it if it hangs from the ceiling? Is the ceiling strong enough to support if it's heavy? And that's where I come in. I have to handle the engineering aspects. So mm-hmm. they're not bothered with it. They can just create. So, yeah, a little bit of producing and sometimes a little bit of directing. And in between, lots of red wine.
Did you get a Super Bowl ring?
Do what?
Did you get a Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, I got five of them.
Well, you know, maybe if you're like an official part of the team, because you're the art consultant for Arrowhead Stadium, maybe they give you a Super Bowl ring.
I did tell Clark when he first hired me, you know, by the time we finish this collection, you guys are really going to start winning Super Bowls.
Yeah, see, there you go.
And I said, it's going to bring you good juju. And he said, you promise, Paul? And I said, I promise.
So thank you.
So look what happened, man.
Patrick Mahomes is...
The art happened first.
Yes.
Then Mahomes.
Then Mahomes.
Mahomes came into the building, saw the art.
Yeah.
was inspired.
I hear he's very inspired by it. Then the Super Bowl. And hey, this past season was no big loss. They still took the AFC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like they need some fresh art in there, maybe a new consultant. Yeah,
I think we need to expand the club.
Yeah, exactly. You, a lot of your art that you have in your gallery does revolve around sports. Did you grow up a Chiefs Royals fan, and has sports kind of inspired some of the work that you do?
Well, actually, sports is a rather small part of what we do. It just has a big presence on certain walls here, but it's important because we've done the art for Arrowhead Stadium, all the originals for Kauffman Stadium, and while the art collection at Arrowhead tends to be very contemporary, not necessarily related to football, some pieces are, but in an abstract way. Royals is all representational art. World Series win, 50th anniversary, different players making plays and so forth, or honoring players who have retired. They have commissioned two pieces that are kind of contemporary. So that's our foray into sports, Texas A&M, and also work for K-State and so forth. But beyond that, it's just all great contemporary art, whether it's abstraction, deconstruction, landscape, or sculpture. And that's really what I'm most passionate about. But I love the sports art. You don't want to know why I love the sports art?
Because you like sports?
Yeah, that too. But it pays very well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there buying that Patrick Mahomes standing in front of the World Series parade or the Super Bowl parade.
Super Bowl parade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't do that one. But yeah, we've got a lot of passionate fans and clients who are passionate about the teams. And I share the passion. I mean, I've been going to the games by both teams since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know their histories well. And I saw my first Chiefs games at the old stadium down at, what was that, 26 in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that stadium very well. Don't forget, that stadium doubled as the A's. That was when it was the Kansas City A's.
Mm-hmm.
It was the A's stadium in the summer and Chiefs in the winter. And somehow they just had to make that work until finally the sports complex was built. It was an interesting time.
Yeah.
And the Royals played their first season at the old stadium.
Yeah.
And I saw some of those games. And then they switched to this incredible sports complex that has stood the test of time, and here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you, I can't remember what, if it was in an interview or where, but you talked about how art helps keep the kid in you alive.
Always.
Maybe that was something where I was like, I thought art was for like old dusty people all the time. I never heard someone say art keeps me young or brings out the kid in me.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more for the people who create it than the people who observe it, though not always.
Okay.
I mean, look at the great artists over time. Picasso always kept the child in him alive until he died. And he was very forthright about that. Frank Lloyd Wright, to a certain degree, yeah, but not in such a playful way as Picasso. Dali, he was a kid from the day he was born, obviously, to the day he died. He was always more kid than he was adult, and that's important with some artists, not all art forms.
Mm-hmm.
But it works for guys like that. When Charlie Chaplin was at his height, no doubt about it. A kid just running loose on these Hollywood backlots and calling the shots and bringing these incredible films together. Spielberg speaks of himself in the same light when he was a younger director and letting the kid go free, like in E.T., but also in other movies. That's before his more serious period that started with, what was the film about the Holocaust?
Schindler's List.
Yeah.
That's very serious.
Anyway, on and on and on. Pick your musician, pick your painter, pick your sculptor. And so keeping the kid alive for a lot of artists is important, but it comes naturally. You don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fortunate that I'm part kid and I'm part adult, and I've seemed to understand how to balance the two out pretty well, or at least that's what my clients and family tell me. I hope they're not lying.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about, finding artists in Kansas City that you hoped would make it to the national level and have. Is there a defining characteristic about Kansas City art? Is there a way to categorize Kansas City art that would be like, that's a Kansas, that looks like it came from Kansas City or anything like that?
Not really. Not these days.
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, when it was more conservative, you would have found a lot of representational art here.
Okay.
Landscapes or paintings and drawings of landscape, paintings and drawings of the Kansas City skyline and the plaza and that kind of thing. And that was perfectly legitimate. It was more conservative than this era. But, the full thrust of what was going on in New York hadn't hit here yet, except on the campuses in those days. Now it's all over the map. I never know what I'm going to find in Kansas City next. And there is no one style or medium or approach that defines what's going on with the Kansas City Renaissance. And yes, we are in the middle of a Renaissance, I and thousands of others have worked our asses off for decades to bring this Renaissance about, and now we're reaping the fruits of it. And I got to say, I'm very proud of the results.
What are some key indicators that say we're in a Renaissance? And what are you looking at? That's like, okay, this is why I believe we're in a Renaissance. What are those indicators that would say that?
We're in a cultural Renaissance, in my opinion, because of the explosion, not just of the Crossroads, but of studios and art centers throughout the city and adjoining cities and nearby cities, Lawrence, Topeka, Warrensburg, Columbia. And they all have their art movements as well. But in Kansas City, from the Crossroads to the West Bottoms to various studios in Johnson County or Independence or Parkville, I've seen it all. And it's just taking off all the time. And how can I measure that? Easy. We keep track of our clients and our client list. We know what part of the country we live in. We're in touch with them, although we never harass anybody. And we know how the demographic has worked and how there has been a huge upsurge in the purchasing of really great regional talent by Kansas Cityans over the last 30 years, because if we've tracked it for all 30.
Yeah.
And it's increased dramatically in the last 15. Now, 15 years ago, I finished the H&R Block, the Art for H&R Block World Headquarters downtown. And that was all regional artists, just as the Crossroads was really starting to take off. And I guarantee you the H&R Block project, with all the money that Block allowed me to spend in the Kansas City art community, it was a substantial sum, as was Arrowhead. That had a huge impact, and that helped the Crossroads take off and lots of studios with it. So, yeah, we're for darn sure in a Renaissance, and it's actually in all the art forms, not just the visual arts.
Yeah, we talked with Michael Baxley from Inglewood Arts.
Great Art Center.
Yeah, who's trying to, because a lot of artists who had studios in the Crossroads, you know, that area got real expensive to live, and trying to do the same thing out in Independence with the Inglewood neighborhood. And you know, they're leaning heavily on art to bring an entire neighborhood kind of back to life. And it's just cool that, you know, he believes, and enough people believe in that grassroots campaign, that arts can change an entire neighborhood.
I think it's going to happen the way they're going about it. I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty cool. How do you, you talked about, like, you've seen prices and the cost of art and people investing in art, with all this stuff going around, like, you know, like the stupid Bitcoins and different things like that. Sure. And like young people getting into that. Is there a way for young people to get in to investing in art? Because I feel like that is a stronger investment. And like when I think of investing in art, it sounds like, again, something only like old stuffy people can do. But how would a young person, like, investing in art 101, how do I do it?
Well, it starts with passion first. But there are two types of art you invest in when you're young. The one that most people really pursue in places like New York and L.A. and in certain cities in Europe are young emerging artists that one or two critics will praise to the heavens, and then a dealer will represent that artist. And then whether artificially or realistically inflate the prices, and I mean inflate them dramatically, you know, not just 5 or 10%, 100% or more, and drive the prices up insanely. That market is rather common in New York, more common there than any other city in this country. And they'll drive up the prices artificially, and who's ever buying in at these different levels, it just better hold that this young man or young woman, that those prices will hold. And sometimes they don't. But if you do get in early with one of those artists that shows promise and you invest early, there's a chance you can clean up just like in the stock market. And people do manage to pull that off. It's a rarity. It's a rarity. But that's not the way we go about it. Artists join us. And if in the beginning, their paintings or small sculptures are selling for a couple of thousand each, that's wonderful. They stay with us long enough and all goes well, I'll be able to quadruple those prices eventually. It might happen in 10 years, it might happen in 15. Are they ever going to get the $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 mark? Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I have seen some increase dramatically. So the artist is making a better living. The people who collected his or her art early on feel good about it, but that wasn't why they bought. They bought because of the passion, and that's what I always urge. That has got to come first. And so they dig the increase in the value of what they own, but almost none of them ever resell it. They just keep it in the family.
Yeah, and so
or did you have a follow up on that?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Just, you know, speaking about passion, it seems like a passion of yours is helping young artists in Kansas City. You've partnered with Paseo High School in Sumner, is that right?
Yeah, Paseo Academy on the Missouri side, mm-hmm. and Sumner Academy on the
So KCK what have you guys side. Been able to do with those schools? What kind of partnerships have you formed, and how are you helping artists there?
How do I help these two schools?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided in 06 when I was finishing H&R Block, because by that time we'd begun to land a lot of large projects, and it was time for me to start giving back. I decided I just wanted to tour Paseo Academy and see how things were over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great school. It's a relatively new building. It was finished around 20 years ago. And I went over and toured the art department, but I noticed kilns weren't working, and they didn't have sufficient canvases mm-hmm. or paint. They didn't have enough clay for making ceramic vessels or ceramic sculptures. They were lacking in all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the art teacher, what's going on here? Why is this art department only partially filled out with materials and functioning equipment? And she said, we're broke. We're just not a high priority. Higher priorities go elsewhere. And I can understand that in a district the size of KCMO.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, we'd only get a fraction of the finances that the schools in the suburbs get, whether that's Parkville or Johnson County. So I said, well, if I raise 10 grand a year for you, will that help? And she said, sure. And then I went over and did the same thing with Sumner Academy and KCK, one mm-hmm. of the best high schools in the country. And they needed it just as badly as I suspected would be the case once I began to learn what was going on with these art departments in these inner city high schools. So I undertook with my clients to raise 10 grand a year for each school. This adequately underwrites their financial needs for all the art supplies, laptops, cameras, kilns, even glass kilns so they can slump glass, which all kids love to do, welding equipment, brazing equipment, on and on and on. And so 15 years later, we've raised a little over $250,000 for these schools, and we've helped guide about 800 kids into college. And I developed personal relationships with a lot of them. And we've taken 1,400 kids on field trips to the Flint Hills, to Warrensburg, to K-State, to KU. And it's all about getting them into college, to JUCO, to UMKC.
Mm-hmm.
Get them into college. Get out of the cycle of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a pretty good drill sergeant about that. And so looking back over 15 years, I'm pretty happy with what we've achieved because they're wonderful kids and they deserve it.
Any good stories about like any kids taking part in that and then going to college for something like that and coming back and being an artist that you recognize and you've seen and you remember from Paseo where they said, hey, I went to Paseo High and this is, you know, now I'm an artist.
Many stories. Two are a young man, African-American from Paseo, Felix Mall. He now works at Arts Tech in downtown KC. He's an arts instructor, finished at the Kansas City Art Institute. And he's also a painter in his own right and doing well. And then Isaac Tapia, he's also from Paseo. And he is a muralist in his own right. He and Rico Alvarez, they're partners, and they paint murals all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in huge demand. And I just landed them a gig in Vegas is what it's looking like. And then to round out the story, there is tragedy. We have lost several kids to gunfire over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend time with a kid and you mentor him and you get as close as you're able to in those few sessions. You know, it's a total of maybe 10 hours with the kids by the end of a year, field trips and trips to the school and all that. Well, actually, it's closer to 40 hours, I guess. You get close to some of them, and some of them have been shot by random gunfire. Who mm-hmm. knows why? They were not in dispute or fight with anybody. I think since I started this, we've lost at least 5 to gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
And we just lost one a few months ago. He didn't even know the person who shot him. It just happened. Mm-hmm. It's just stuff in the hood. He was getting ready to join the Air Force, and he had a 3.5 at Paseo. That does bring some gravity and a touch of reality to the situation.
Yeah.
Please go ahead with your next question.
Your gallery here is in Brookside. Obviously an impressive gallery with all the art. I think the most impressive thing about your place here is you have a finished basement in Brookside.
Oh, yeah.
How did you land on this location for your gallery and kind of the storefront for your business?
I always wanted this space. After we left the Savoy Hotel in 1997, we moved to Crestwood, not far from Oxmoor. Mm-hmm. Wonderful neighborhood. But the space just wasn't big enough for me. And I had heard through the grapevine that this space was coming open. So I approached the woman who used to own it, Frances Gordon, wonderful person, now deceased. And she said, I would love for you to have the space. I'm going to make sure that you get to sign the lease. And that was that. Why Brookside? Because I love the traffic. It's centrally located. There's sidewalk traffic all day and half the night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, receptive neighborhood, and it needed an edgy gallery, and by God, that's who we are. I'm just as much a nonconformist as Jim Morrison, you know, just without the dope and the booze.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've got my own way of being a nonconformist, and I enjoy every bit of it.
So we're sitting here in your office, and for being an art consultant and someone who owns a gallery, your office walls are pretty bare. I mean, they look like my office walls, and that is not meant to be an insult, but what I'm asking for is free advice from a consultant on how to make my office better as far as layout. So, like,
oh, I know about that. We just don't apply it in here because my staff doesn't come into my office.
Yeah.
Because they come in, I have somebody who cleans it once a week, but otherwise, you know, books are piled all over the place, manuscripts are here and there.
There's only one painting on the wall.
That's because the paintings need to be on the gallery floor so those artists can sell those paintings. Mm-hmm. And the only time I put the one painting on my wall is when I know that artist has enough inventory, enough success that he or she won't mind. They kind of consider it an honor. But otherwise, no, it's just, well, here's a big map of the Grand Canyon where I go hiking every year.
Uh-huh.
I love to do a rim-to-rim once in a while. There's a Chiefs Super Bowl autograph football from the first Super Bowl in 1965 or 66, I think.
69, I think.
No, it was 66, the year we lost to Green Bay.
Oh, the first.
65 or 66.
Oh, Super Bowl I, yes, correct.
We won
correct.
69.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Minnesota, I believe.
Yeah. Vikings, yep.
And, you know, I got a piece of blown glass here, then I got my incense burning. But no, I don't have art everywhere because I can walk out my door and it's everywhere.
Should
How
I
do you
put,
decorate an office? You
yeah, should I get
on
some
the
art?
Side of minimal.
Okay.
Not too much.
Okay.
I can't say that I follow my own rules in that respect because this place is just full of stuff. But it's the stuff that inspires me. And here's a German Shepherd over in the corner.
Yeah.
And
beautiful piece of art.
Yeah, there's my essential oil humidifier.
Yeah, so it shouldn't look like a college dorm where, like, the college dorm, all you do is, like, hang as many posters as possible and flags on the
ceiling.
Keep
it simple and basic.
Okay. All right.
Simple and basic always, man.
Because now it's in the background of all the virtual Zoom calls that we have to do, and I want it to, you know, exude, like, confidence and success because I can't do that on my own. So I need the art in,
sure
my back, in the background.
Yeah. All you need on those Zoom calls is one piece in the background and nothing
it
more.
Just blows everyone away.
And,
right?
And when I get on Zoom calls, which we don't have as much as we used to, I don't care if they see my whiteboard and the map of the Grand Canyon. They think it's funny. They want to see the art. They can either go on the website or go on the floor. They all know it's here.
Yeah. So the rim-to-rim hikes, is that going to prepare you for Survivor? Are you going to go on Survivor?
I have no idea.
You don't know.
They told me they loved the video. They told me I was in the first round.
Okay.
I understand it in general. Several thousand
I know
people
were
always
to get
in the
on
first
Survivor.
Round. Yeah, I don't know if I got past the first round.
Okay.
Or not.
Gotcha.
All I know is they loved the video. They thought it was amusing that I'd be a good candidate. If I get on, great. If I don't, I have a pretty exciting life, so it's okay. Yeah, I hike the Grand Canyon once a year. I often go to Santa Fe, my wife and I. I like to surf California when I can. I'm a rock climber, though as I get older, I don't have the strength I used to in the upper body strength that requires, although the best ones primarily use their legs. And we go to Key West to go snorkeling all the time, and I've got it pretty good. So if I don't get on Survivor, it's
you sound,
really just
yeah,
fine.
You sound like you've done the activities to get ready for Survivor.
I'm probably as prepared as I can be at my age.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the things you mentioned in the Survivor video is like your work with art has kind of taught you all these different life skills, like you said, the construction part of like how to hang a piece of art.
And how to hang a $3,000 sculpture and make sure that damn thing never comes down.
And the carpentry and all that stuff. Did you just kind of pick that up as you went along, or did you receive some special training on that, or is it just like kind of a handyman
thing? My father
was
a contractor and he was a great carpenter and he taught me a lot. So before I ever got in the art business, I already understood how to work with architects and designers and respect their plans and not cost the client extra money because you're thinking of things too late in the game. You need to be thinking of things up front and saving your client money and staying on schedule. That doesn't mean the artist paints or sculpts by a schedule. Mm-hmm. You give them the freedom to create that they need, and even if it goes beyond certain deadlines, depending on what the project is. you don't get in the way of that with a bunch of idiotic rules.
Yeah.
But they have to, they do have to deliver what's going to inspire the client. Working with me, they always do. We've never missed.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's carpentry and we pour concrete and we weld steel and we do whatever it takes, but mostly those things are farmed out.
Yeah. It sounds like your role is a unique position because you are dealing with artists who are very creative by nature and maybe don't have a lot of structure. And then your clients being like corporations a lot of times and companies that have structure and rules and stuff like that. And it sounds like your job a lot of times is to kind of mediate all of that and be the guy who's helping the client and the artist not like yell at each other, I guess.
It helps to speak both languages.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
So I'm able to speak the language of art effortlessly. And I understand my clients, whether it's a corporate client like Henry Block was mm-hmm. or as Clark Hunt has been and so many others that have been so good to us, so very good to us, and are where we'd be without them. I understand their language. I understand any woman or man coming to me from any part of the country, any suburb in Kansas City or in downtown or the River Market, passionate about a certain wall in their condo or their home and how can we treat it in a unique way. And I listen to them. And once we center on the artist who's going to work for them, then the artist just create what is going to inspire that client. And by using a study, which is what the Great Impressionist did and what Rembrandt did, or also a maquette of it, it's a sculpture, you can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. And always the larger piece is going to be much more powerful than the study or the maquette. Mm-hmm. And we just don't let it go backwards. The artist is still speaking his or her language and doing what they love until midnight or 1 a.m. or however late they work, listening to jazz and sipping wine and all the stuff that goes with how they live and whatever time of day they do their work in. I don't care, mm-hmm. as long as the work's great. And once the client gets in tune with that passion, most clients I know understand, just let it go and let them follow the passion. And they just have to deliver close to what was originally promised, and it goes well, incredibly well, every time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Paul, thanks so much for your time. And everyone listening, be sure next time you're in Brookside to stop by here on 63rd Street. So, Paul, thanks so much for visiting with us today.
My pleasure, boys. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks to Paul for joining us. Again, ton of fun. If you're ever walking around in Brookside, just pop in. It's on 63rd Street. Some really cool pieces to look at, look around. For you Chiefs fans out there, there's the original big mural of Patrick Mahomes in front of Union Station, the parade and everything. Very cool that mm-hmm. the original is up there to go look at right now. So
yeah, awesome art gallery. It's just fun to kind of walk in and just walk around and look at it.
And they're all like, you know, pretty local artists.
Yeah,
Kansas,
exactly.
Missouri is where most of the artists that you'll see the artwork is from. All right. So thanks to Paul for joining us. We got some Kansas City Another Week updates. The Olympics are over. So now let's see how our guys did.
Yes.
And girls.
So we do have some real updates. Some positive updates.
Yes.
Our guy, the pole vaulter, Chris Nielsen, got silver in
Hell
the
yeah.
pole vault. He's from Park Hill, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The high school at Park mm-hmm. Hill. Got silver in the pole vault, pole vaulting 5.97 meters. Which is 19 feet 6 inches.
Watching those in slow-mo is the coolest thing, and I don't understand how humans do that.
It's like, it's probably, when you do watch it in slow-mo, it's probably the sport that requires the most technique, I'm going to say.
And
the amount of technique, it has to be perfect. You have to execute on your technique perfectly in order to go over. Like, it has to be perfect.
I would just never be brave enough to try it once.
Yeah. I feel like we probably did when we were like 4 years old with some broomstick or something.
Yeah.
I bet we did.
Maybe.
And then our gal, Courtney Feierreichs, got silver in the steeplechase.
Hell yeah.
Courtney, if you remember, she's from Nixa, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Jason Bourne. She ran the 3,000-meter steeplechase in 4.79 seconds.
So if you remember, the steeplechase was like the horse race for humans.
Yeah, you're jumping over fences.
Into water.
Running into water. I think, 3,000 is what, a mile and a half? 3,000 meters?
Yes.
How many miles is
that's good stuff.
3,000 meters?
Well, 5,000 meters is
1.86 miles. About. So 1.86 miles in 9 minutes and change while 9 minutes and 4 seconds while jumping over a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Casey Lightfoot, the other pole vaulter, was finished fourth.
Right out of the medals.
Right out of the medals. Mm-hmm. By a couple of tenths of a meter. Centimeters? Probably.
Probably centimeters.
Probably some centimeters. Yeah. And then our other gymnasts who were disqualified because of COVID.
Yeah.
So that was tough.
Tough.
That stinks.
Did not.
But the other update mm-hmm. is from our guest of the show.
Guns and Hoses.
Guns and Hoses.
Okay.
Liberty Worcester, the firefighter out of Belton. She won her bout, as we predicted.
Hell yeah.
We said Liberty is a firecracker. Her nickname is freaking Honey Badger.
Yep. Had it before. Tyron Matthew.
Yeah, people forget. A lot of people. The nation, the mm-hmm. national media is not talking about how not Liberty enough. had her nickname before uh-huh. Tyron Matthew. She got a second round TKO.
Hell yeah.
Wearing the belt, proudly.
No mas.
And I couldn't find
it. Didn't want any more.
I couldn't find an update on Victor.
Okay.
So Liberty, there was no update on the Guns and Hoses Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed or emailed our contact there. I haven't heard back. So I just went to Liberty's Facebook page, and she's got it plastered all over.
As she should.
Her wearing her belt everywhere all Hell the yes. time.
Champ.
And second round TKO for Liberty. So
she's the champ.
I mean, proud of our guest. Mm-hmm. Second round TKO.
All right.
She also beat up a cop. So
tough.
Technically.
For charity.
For charity, though.
Yeah, for charity.
Yeah.
All right. Casino KC.
No. This is Midwest Mad.
Let's get mad.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get
mad. This is the Midwest Mad segment.
Because Isle of Capri, which we campaigned for to get a makeover, it did.
Thanks to us.
Then it got a dumb name called Casino KC.
Why didn't we like the name?
Because it's... Well, you probably don't like it because you just don't like slapping KC on the end of things.
It's just a lazy name.
It's very lazy. And I knew it was a placeholder.
Yeah.
Like I think we could
tell. I assumed
it was a placeholder
as well.
Yeah. For Bally KC.
Bally's Kansas City Casino.
Boo.
Boo hard.
Yes. Bally's your favorite cable channel.
Yeah.
Who carries the Royals, who you probably don't get to watch this year because of... Bally
Sports.
And everybody. So, but they're getting their name on the casino now.
I don't like. Why don't they have people who are just talk to regular people and say, "Hey, Danny. Hey, Joe, Kansas Cityan. What's your opinion of the brand Bally?" I would say it seems cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It seems tacky.
It seems like an off-brand Fox Sports.
Yes. It seems cheap. It seems tacky. It seems low class. It seems like the commercials that I see on the Bally Sports app
mm-hmm.
While watching a Royals game remind me of old, cheap, off-brand, not good. Don't associate it with really anything positive.
Right.
And the Royals stink. So the brand Bally carries zero positive connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Now they named this Bally's Kansas City Casino. Immediately, all of this $40 million renovation and
got a big
the
doo-doo.
Money that they just put into it, even the renderings, as soon as they put that Bally logo up in front of the renderings,
yeah.
They haven't yet. But the old renderings looked sweet and cool. Now in my head, the renderings seem cheap and tacky.
Yeah, because their logo is a big red circle, which has gone up. I drove by it on Sunday, and you can see it. Just a big red circle. It says Bally's Kansas City. And I'm like, is that an advertisement for the Royals? What is that?
What is this?
It doesn't look like a casino at all.
Nothing
just
about
Just a red
that.
Circle. It's the dumbest logo. And again, it just seems like an off-brand.
It's sad. It's
depressing. And Bally's I associate with like a gym. Was there a Bally's gym?
I don't know.
At one point in Kansas City, I swear there was.
Maybe.
And that's what I associated
But Bally's
with.
Has always been a casino, like, gaming brand.
Yeah.
And that's who bought the... So Bally's bought the naming... Bally's casino and gaming brand bought the naming rights for Bally Sports, the channel, which is mm-hmm. owned by, like, Sinclair and Diamond Broadcasting. Some
yep.
super corporate holding company bullshit.
Just to shove advertisements down your throat.
Just and they sold the naming rights to their freaking sports channel. I
yeah.
mean, like that's how like cheap cheap this whole thing seems. And so I'm pretty bummed about this, to mm-hmm. be honest. If you can't tell,
yeah, I can tell.
It's just like it doesn't sound cool. So I don't know.
The logo is a big red dot.
Yeah, the logo is lame. There's nothing about this that gets me excited to go out there. There's nothing that's like that makes me excited to be like, oh, they're gonna put in like a really like casinos in most places. They're associated with really nice restaurants that are in there and mm-hmm. top of the line entertainment, nice hotel rooms, different things like that, classy establishments. Depending on,
yeah,
obviously the Isle of Capri was not that, but you know, depending on where you're at, that's what casinos can be.
Mm-hmm.
This just now it seems like, okay, this is gonna be another cheap.
You know,
cheap, sad casino on like a sad casino.
You know what I could see happening in the sports book? Not being able to watch Royals games in the sports book because we're blacked out.
Yeah.
Like we have a restriction.
We have a restriction.
We're
yeah.
in the blackout zone. You can't watch Royals games at Bally's.
Yeah.
Kansas
so,
City.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Like I can see that happening.
Yeah. So,
or like
anyways.
You can't watch ESPN programming at Bally's.
Yeah.
You can only watch Bally's.
Yeah. So, TV. So I get to watch like.
So you can only gamble on games that are on Bally's Sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
No
exactly.
games on ESPN or CBS. So, or Fox, just Bally's Sports, and the Royals are blacked out. So you can't watch them.
Sad.
That's what the sports book is going to be
like. That's sad. So that's Bally's Kansas City Casino. Hope everyone's super excited for that stupid name.
That dump. Go ahead. Go. You want to keep going off on a personal pine tar?
Oh, sure. I'll just roll right into
roll
my
right
personal
into
pine
it.
Tar.
Roll right in.
Here's
it.
My personal pine tar this week. Not this week. This last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my car, the needs an oil change light comes on with 600 miles to go.
Till the oil change?
Till the oil change is needed.
It's but nice
the
little warning.
I don't need that far of a warning.
Okay.
That's like the gas light coming on with a quarter of a tank left.
Like, okay.
The warning should happen at 100 miles, maybe. 600 miles is two full tanks. And COVID days, in my short commute, that's like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need a two-month warning to get an oil change. I'm going to roll until that hits zero before I get an oil change. So I guarantee you the big oil, they're paying these car companies to produce an oil warning system yeah. earlier so that you get oil changes more frequently. Over the lifetime of a car, that could be 10 more
yeah.
oil changes if you get an oil change at 600 miles as opposed to 0 miles.
Some people have long commutes. Some people don't have 5 mile commutes like you.
Well, 600 miles is still ridiculous.
You got to make an appointment to go get it changed. I think you're ridiculous, if I'm being honest. You got to give them a warning.
But every single time you turn the car yeah. on, the warning is there. Every time you turn the car
I'm
on.
I'm forgetful. I need that. I need that much prep time.
No, I need mm-hmm. 100 miles.
All right. My personal pine tar. Seltzers aren't the same anymore.
Uh-oh.
I can't just have a Truly or a White Claw. Mm. They taste bad.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's Quirk's fault. And now, like, it's just like once you reach the point where like you can afford Bud Light or Busch Light or Coors Light, you can't drink Natty and you can't drink Keystone anymore. You can't drink Beer 30. They just taste so terrible. Now
Miller Light,
all those things. So I have just gotten to the point now where I've drank too many Quirks
mm-hmm.
where the Truly flavors are not good. Yes, I maybe drank like 8 of them.
At least
after I finished all the Quirks. But like it's very obvious how less tasty they are mm-hmm. than the Quirks. And so now it's like I'm going to go broke drinking Quirks.
Well, I think they're the same price.
They're way more expensive than Truly's, I think.
I don't think so.
Maybe not way more, but volume.
I don't know, bud.
Yeah. I bought.
You know what's really hard to do is look up liquor prices online.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried to like Google like how
yeah,
much
they don't want
to
know.
No, they're so hard to do.
They don't want you to know. I mean, yeah, it depends. They didn't have 24 packs at Gomer's on 39th. So I bought two 12 packs for $35.
Oh, yeah, well, the 24 packs are 26.
Yeah, I know. That's expensive.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so it's $1 more
mm-hmm.
for Quirks.
Yeah.
Truly at Target is $15.99 for 12.
Okay.
And $16.99 for Quirks.
Okay. Well, then financially it's not that bad, but it's just hard.
I will never financially recover from this.
I will never. Never. But yeah, it's tough. My taste buds are changed.
I agree. I've not bought or drank a Truly or White Claw in a long time.
Yeah.
But you know what I've had? I've had a couple, the Ultra seltzers are good.
Yeah, I'm into those.
And the Corona seltzers, I had a couple of those.
All right. So I don't know. Maybe it's just Truly's. Just don't do it for them anymore. All right. Let's talk a little mixed plate of fancy restaurants.
We fancy boys.
Like we already said. We talked to Art, really. We didn't have to be fancy. We walked in, you know, didn't have to be fancy there. But you're
absolutely right.
Let's talk fancy restaurants. This week is going to be our mixed plate. So
maybe if you're having a fancy night, you want to feel fancy. Mm-hmm. You go to one of these restaurants, you go to an art gallery, you go to an art show, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think it's your episode.
You're going to go first. Mixed plate of fancy restaurants. Mm-hmm. All right. Meet number one.
Break it down.
I have to go with the way I truly feel.
Okay. Tell me how you feel. I want to know how you feel.
I think the best fine dining experience in Kansas City is Eddie V's.
Okay.
It was on my list. It's hard for me to say because I wanted to go local here, but this is my true statement. I think the experience from start to finish, the service, the food, the menu, the cocktails, everything.
It's got a great bar.
Eddie V's is top notch. I think it's the best. I freaking hate it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say something local. But I think it's Eddie V's at this point.
Okay.
That's my meet number one.
Meet number one. That's good. I mean, it's got a great bar area as you're waiting for a table to grab a cocktail too.
Yeah.
So
the service is experience. Like the service, they make you feel so great when you're there. And it's awesome.
I'm going to go another place with, I think, a great bar to get a cocktail while you drink. And then one of the best steaks in the city too, right in my neighborhood, Stock Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's top notch too. I love when they get a little live music going.
Oh, yeah.
In the bar area too. Mm-hmm. If like Emily Dix Trio's playing, that's the spot to be.
Howdy, partner.
And then get down there, get a steak. Top notch fine dining experience.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
My meet number two. I'm going with one of my early Kansas City, like one of the first fine dining experiences I had in Kansas City. I'm going with Novel.
Okay.
Novel.
I still haven't been there.
It's very delicious. It has, the first time I went to it, it was in the house. Mm-hmm. It was in a house on the west side that was converted to a restaurant. And now that's a Greek place, I think, or Mediterranean place of some sort. But Novel is now in the Crossroads in a new building. It's really incredible. Again, awesome service, great food, great menu. Awesome cocktails. They had a Scotch egg there. I'd never had it before. It was amazing. And that's a place where you can just like take a risk on something because you know it's going to be good.
A Scotch egg. What is that even?
It was like fried. It was like a fried egg thing.
Mmm.
And
wrapped in sausage.
It was delicious. It was delicious.
Okay.
Or like breaded. Yeah.
All right. My meat number two here. I'm going to go I think I had my favorite pork chop. No, what did I have here?
Yeah, I had the pork chop at a Novel.
Okay. Well, this is another place. I've gotten the pork chop and the lamb here, both very good. JJ's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's a great spot too. You could go classic and go steak there too. But I went pork chop, I believe, last time I went. Did not miss. Very good spot. And a classic Kansas City place.
They have an awesome happy hour.
They do.
Very good happy hour and a awesome patio. Like that patio that's out the patio over is there. Cool. It's in the shade for the most part. So you can even go there when it's hot. All right. Side number one for me.
What do you got?
I'm going Corvino.
Okay.
This is nice. Small plates.
Supper Club.
The Supper Club. I've never had the Supper Club. Well, I can't remember which one is which, but one of them, like you have a set menu and you eat through, like you pay a set price and you eat through like the 10 courses that they choose for you. I've only been to the restaurant where we, you know, order off the menu and order for ourselves, but small plates, beef tartare there is incredible. The fried rice is good. They have these like spicy, sticky ribs that are very delicious. And again, always live music at Corvino. It's kind of like almost too dark. Like sometimes it's like pitch black in there mm-hmm. when you're eating. But it's still like very good. And I love Corvino.
All right. I'm going to go with my side number one here. Friend of the show, the Antler Room.
I had them on my
very
list.
Good spot. That menu is always changing too. The menu is you're going to try something that you've never had before, probably if you go, and don't be scared. Don't be too scared.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's weird, but everything they put together has a purpose. The way the flavors, come together is delicious. And always, like if you're not feeling fancy, keep an eye on their Instagram page. If they drop that burger every once in a while. Oh, boy. But the Antler Room, that's my side number one.
All right, that's solid. All right, side number two for me, this is newer, but it is also delicious. I mean, you can taste the difference in handmade pasta. I'm talking Farina in the Crossroads.
Okay.
The play here is... Okay, start with some oysters.
Yeah.
Definitely start with some oysters in a cocktail while they have an oyster bar that you can sit at, or you can just order oysters to your table and take your cocktail there. Then what you want to do is you want to each get your own pasta. So they have all this handmade pasta. You each get your own pasta and then split a ribeye.
Oh, wow.
So what
How
we
many
did,
ounces we talking?
Right. Let me see. Big old ribeye,
big old dog.
But the pastas are like pretty small, like there's no meat in the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
So you each get your own pasta, and then you just eat that on its own, and it's freaking delicious. But then you get a ribeye to get some of that. You need a protein, right? Mm-hmm. And just a delicious ribeye right in the middle, and split that as well. That's the play at Farina, and it is very delicious.
Okay, all right. I've never been here. But I'm going to put it on my list anyways,
because
I know it has to be that good. And that's Gordon Ramsay's Steakhouse in the Harrah's Casino.
Yeah.
That's got to be good. I've never been there, but if Gordon Ramsay's name is on it, I need to get my ass there, get one of Gordon Ramsay's steaks.
Well, you got to try the Beef Wellington.
Oh, I would love to.
That's what he's most famous
And then
for.
Also be in the classy atmosphere of the Harrah's Casino. So... what an experience there. Had Very to go classy. With the Gordon Ramsay.
All right. What'd you leave off? Anything?
I realized I'm not a fancy boy and haven't been to any of the places on my list. I have been on my list. I mean, on my off list now.
Oh, okay.
On my backups.
On your backups?
So Lowe's Hotel. I want to go to the Stillwell.
Oh, yeah.
That looks awesome.
I want to go to the Town & Company in the new Hotel Kansas mm-hmm. City.
Yeah.
Capitol Grill, obviously a go-to.
801 Chop House too,
very classy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's low key, very good. I say low key because it's in Overland Park, but Jay Gilbert's
is on
like 91st and Metcalf area. Yeah. Really good. Fox and Pearl. In the West Side.
I didn't
Delicious.
Know that's fancy food. I didn't know how fancy it was. Same with like Il Centro. I don't know if I would call that a fancy restaurant, but it is nice
Pretty fine
Italian
dining.
Food.
Yeah. Rye is very mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Kind of in that in between gastropub, fine dining type atmosphere. That's what I left off.
I know. All right. I'm excited to see what other people have to say. I need some good recommendations. So that'll do it for us this week. We haven't announced that we got second place.
Damn it.
We got runner up.
Well, we kind of announced it.
Oh, yeah.
With that stupid picture.
Yeah.
Why'd you use that picture?
Well, the picture of us.
In our tuxedos?
I don't know. Because I was like, oh, there's a picture of us.
Yeah, you're putting out thirst traps these days. You on the garden of Nelson today?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Doing things in Kansas City. I need you to get some thirst traps out there.
Okay.
Next time you're out and about.
Some KZ thirst traps out there.
Next time you're out and about, get a thirst trap going. So,
yeah, so second place in KC Mag.
We'll see. Hopefully we get the nom in the pitch, and then we can, try to hassle
Struggling.
You guys for votes, too.
Bunch of has-beens over
I
here.
I know. Did not get the three-peat, but stay tuned. Follow us on social media at State Your Line. We'll see you around Kansas City.
through the night.